The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
During Jesus' earthly ministry, as he went about preaching and teaching, he frequently used parables. Now, with that statement in mind, I would like you to please go with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. We begin reading in verse 1. Matthew 13 in verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Now, when I had the opportunity to go over to Israel, I was able to see the area where they think that this is where he was. And it's interesting because it's like the mountainside is like this, and it's a concave in sense down to the sea. And so you get in a boat and you ride just a little bit out. It's like an amphitheater is what it would be like. And so this would be the reason for that. Verse 3, and he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now, I want you to drop down, go down to verse 34. All these things spoke Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without the multitude spoke he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. And this actually takes place, this is a quoting from Psalm 78, verse 2. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. I find it interesting that it is estimated that somewhere around one-third of all the recorded teachings that we have in the Gospels of Jesus Christ are in parables. Now, that's a lot. That's significant whenever you think about it. In fact, whenever you really think about it, when you really study it, many of the most remembered sayings of Jesus are his parables. And brethren, I think we also need to realize the use of parables was not unique to Jesus. In other words, what I mean is it was a common teaching method that was used by the Jewish rabbis of the time. However, the real difference is Jesus' use of the parables differed from others in how few words he used to convey such a deep and spiritual truth. I am sure as believers, as disciples of Jesus Christ, when you approach a topic like this, we're probably going to have some questions. I mean, questions such as, what is a parable? Why did Jesus teach in parables? What are they about? How should we interpret it? How should we interpret them? Well, brethren, we all need to know what Jesus said. He has given us so many words, so many teachings, so many truths that our whole way of life could be summarized, should be summarized, in what we're doing with the words that Jesus Christ spoke. I mean, after all, he is the Son of God. He was perfect. He is our Savior. He says, follow me. We are to do all the things that he did, which certainly would include all the things that he taught. And so I would like for us to start to take a closer look at Jesus' words, especially at his parables, because that's where we can draw so many different teaching lessons and teaching points. And so today will be somewhat of what I am calling an introduction to the parables in general. Then in later sermons, God willing, I plan to look at some of the parables more closely. Today it's going to be an introduction. So I have entitled this Introduction to Jesus' Parables. It's one of these things where I'm going to tell you all of this so that later we can look at the parables and see, why did he say that? What is he meaning by it? So let's begin this introduction to the parables by noticing the definition, or probably more accurately, the word usage of the word parable. First of all, the word parable is a transliteration of a Greek word, and that Greek word, I'm going to spell it for you, is P-A-R-A-B-O-L-E, parabole. The word means to place beside or to cast alongside. I'm going to give you a couple of other references in stating what they state that a parable is. One of these Bible dictionaries states that it signifies, it points out a place of one thing beside another with a view of comparison. In other words, it's comparing things, one thing to another thing. Another reference describes a parable as a story that places one thing beside another for the purpose of teaching. And then yet another one states, it puts the known next to the unknown so that we may learn. As parables are used in the New Testament, it is usually a story that is taken from something in nature or from human characteristics. And then it's from there is where we can come to a spiritual lesson or lessons that we can make by comparison. In other words, this is what God says and this is what the world has said, as an example. In many, many places in the New Testament, this is because I'm focusing on the New Testament because this is where Jesus spoke his parables, or in the New Testament, a parable can usually be identified by the use of the word like. Let me give you a couple of examples here. Matthew 13, verse 31. Matthew 13 and verse 31. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like. And then he goes on, he said, it is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Then verse 33. Another parable spoke he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now, both of these that I'm citing here in verse 31 and 33, they're spiritual lessons here. We're not getting into the spiritual lessons of it today. We're just looking at an overview of why he taught in parables, what is it, and some of the examples that we can get from it. So to put it in another way, a common definition or usage of a parable might be something like, it is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And I think that's true. We're taking something on earth and making comparison with it to something that is of God. Looking at questions, because I said as followers and as believers, we probably have several questions whenever we address this type of subject. So the next question that I want to address here is, why did Jesus talk in parables? Why did he teach in parables? In other words, why didn't he simply speak straightforward when he addressed the audience, whoever the audience was that he talked to? Why didn't he say it just as plain as he could get it? Could he have spoken the words and made them very, very simple, very plain? Yes. So for us to understand why he spoke in parables, I think we first need to realize and need to understand his overall purpose of the parables, of all of the parables. The primary purpose for Jesus' teaching in parables was to conceal. In other words, I go back and I say, why didn't he simply speak straightforward when he was teaching? The reason was is because he was trying to conceal the information. Now, we could probably question, now, why would he want to do that? Well, we're going to see this. Jesus began speaking in parables because of the hardness of the heart of many of the people and the multitudes to which he spoke, including the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and all of that. Let's stay here in Matthew 13, and let's go up to verse 10. Matthew 13 and verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speak you unto them in parables? Isn't that the question we're asking? Yeah, it is. Verse 11, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Remember what I said, the primary purpose was to conceal. I speak in parables so that you can understand and so that they cannot. Verse 12, for whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, and this is from Isaiah chapter 6, and he's quoting from verses 9 and 10. By hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. In other words, it's hardened. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest that at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their hearts and should be converted, and I should heal them. But now you got to back up and say, you know, and understanding what he just said in these verses. What he just said was, for the people's heart is hardened and their ears are dull of hearing and their eyes they have closed, lest that at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their hearts and should be converted and I would heal them. He's saying that's not where they are. They close their eyes, they stick up their ears, you know, like fingers in the ears so they can't hear. This is in essence what he's saying. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. We get so much truth out of reading and studying from the Old Testament, the prophets, the writings, and those things. And so many of these people have told us things that is down for us today. And what Jesus very plainly says is, you who are disciples, you who are followers of me, of Jesus Christ, you can see these things and you can understand these things. But these guys in the Old Testament who wrote it down, they spoke them, they wrote them down, they didn't see it, they didn't understand it. They wrote down what God inspired them to write down. They did what he wanted them to do. Yet he even closed it so they could not understand. But we can. Another real good point for us to understand is the attitude that the disciples had. Because of the attitude that the disciples had, they were blessed to be able to learn the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The Old Testament writers did not get it. They didn't get it. They didn't understand it. And we can. And we can. However, going back to something that I was just talking about. However, because of the hard-heartedness of many of the multitudes, Jesus began speaking to them in parables, just as we read in Matthew 13, verses 13 through 15. That's what we just read. Go with me now to Mark 4. We're going to read verses 10 through 12. Mark 4, verse 10, "And when he was alone, they that were with him with the 12 asked of him the parables. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without," in other words, those who are outside, they are not been called in yet, "all these things are done in parables." In other words, to conceal. "That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any times they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them." There's so many lessons in that. There is a calling now. There is a calling now. Not everybody is called. Not everybody is offered to have the understanding of the holy way of life of God or the teachings of Jesus Christ made available to them. That should hit us so hard that we have this realization of how awesome our calling is, of how loving and merciful and gentle this holy God and his Son, Jesus Christ, how they are toward us, that for whatever reason, we get to understand the words of Jesus Christ, because we have been called. As we know, Jesus would then go on and explain the parables in private to his disciples here in Mark 4. Verse 33, Mark 4, verse 33, "And with many such parables spoke he the word unto them as they were able to hear it, but without a parable spoke he not unto them, but when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples." He explained all of it. He opened up the meanings. Because, you know, you read these things and the people go, "Huh? What are you talking about?" The disciples said, "Huh? What are you talking about?" And then they would get in private and they would say, why are you teaching them in parables?" And he gave them the answer. We just read that. And then we also see it and he says, "Will you teach us what you're talking about?" And he does. And he does. Because what we understand, it is for us as believers to understand what it is that he has taught. By using parables, Jesus actually separated what I call truth seekers from curiosity seekers. Because there were many people that followed Jesus Christ. On the final Passover, how many people were really with him? I don't mean with him at the Passover meal, because we don't really know how many were there. Well, after his death and burial and resurrection, and then for the next 40 days, he was with them and said, "You go to Jerusalem and you wait until the Comforter comes." And of course, he was talking about the day of Pentecost. And how many were there? Somewhere around 120. But he had multitudes of 5,000. He had multitudes where he fed of 4,000. They're not the same people. These are two separate groups of people. Yet how many were there? 120. 120. That's what we're seeing here. He separated the truth seekers from the curiosity seekers. Those seeking the truth would say to him, "Would you please explain to us the parables?" Matthew 13, go back to Matthew 13 in verse 36. Matthew 13 in verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Now, it could have been any of them. This just happened to be the one that that's recorded for us to say, for us to read, that they said, will you teach us what it means? Because you see, brethren, those who were simply curious, he would just simply send them away. It could be stated that Jesus used parables to carry out divine judgment. Now, by that, what do I mean? Well, we're in Matthew 13. Go up to verse 12. Let's read verse 12. That seeing they may see. Now, I know we've already read this. We're reading it again in a different context. And not perceive and hearing, they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sin should be forgiven them. In other words, what we understand from this is whoever has a good heart, whoever has a real true listening ear, to him more would be given. And he would have abundance. Abundance by the fact of the parable being explained to him. It didn't mean he was going to have more stuff. It meant that he would have more abundance in the understanding of what the parable meant in his life. However, whoever does not have a good heart and does not have a really good listening ear, even what he has, as it says, has been taken away from him by virtue of his being sent away with the multitude. And therefore he cannot understand. That's what's taken away, is the potential of understanding the actual words of Jesus Christ that he spoke in parable. So they couldn't understand. And then he says, okay, that's it for today. You guys leave. I'm just paraphrasing here. And so they leave, and then the disciple says, okay, teach us what it meant. And he did. So I said that the primary reason for the parables was to conceal. Another purpose for parables was to reveal. Even though the primary purpose in telling the parables was to conceal the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven from the multitude, once the disciples understood the basic meaning of the parables, the comparison of the known, meaning the earthy, truths with the unknown, the heavenly or the things of God, truths would focus in light on the unknown. They could now understand through these physical lessons that he is teaching them the things of God, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, with the help of Jesus' explanation of his parables, we can therefore learn more about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So I said, we all need to understand more and focus more and more on the words of Jesus Christ. It's something that we've not really spent a lot of time in doing. We need to spend a lot of time in looking at the word, studying them, understanding what he's teaching, the words of Jesus Christ. And some of that we understand by looking at the parables, and that's what we're going to do. And I said, God willing, in other sermons. But with this in mind, still here in Matthew 13, let's go to verse 34. We've read several of these verses several times, and I understand that. All these things Jesus spoke unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spoke he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. The Old Testament writers didn't understand what they were writing. This, I think, leads us right into the next question. What are the parables about? Matthew 13, verse 11, definitely gives us a clue. Matthew 13, verse 11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, to them it is not given. That's one of the purposes of the parables. So we can know about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, and so that the others cannot understand. Okay, let's move now on to another topic. The general theme of Jesus' parables is the kingdom of heaven. This, we can see, is at least suggested by Matthew 13, verse 11. And he answered and said, and because it is given to you to know the mysteries, and to them it's not given, as well as it is illustrated by several prophecies. And I mean several of the prophecies that start with words like, the kingdom of heaven is like. So, let me read, not going into what it is, but just, in other words, not interpreting them at this point, but just read some of the statements that he's saying here. Matthew 13, 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. Verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Verse 33. Another parable spoke he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leaven. Verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in the field, the which, when a man has found, he hides, and for joy thereof goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. And one more, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Now, every one of these has spiritual significance. And like I said, we're not really studying that. We're just showing that it was over and over and over. And he made this comparison between earthy things and to heavenly things. And he did not want them to understand, but he wanted us, i.e. the church, to understand. The kingdom of God was the theme of Jesus' ministry as he traveled around from city to city. Matthew 4, verse 17. Matthew 4, verse 17. Matthew 4, early, is where he is taken he goes into the wilderness for the purpose to be tempted by the devil. And then as he comes out, verse 17. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. In fact, brethren, his well-known Sermon on the Mount, which we have been focusing on here in some of the past sermons, and we'll continue to do that, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, is about the kingdom of heaven. And of course, we understand that includes what we call the Beatitudes. Matthew 5, verse 3. This is the first one. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And he says the same thing here in Matthew 5 and verse 10, verse 19 and verse 20, Matthew 6, verse 10 and verse 33, and Matthew 7 and verse 21, just for example. Also, let's see, there are three sub-themes, subdivisions or sub-themes emphasized in Jesus' parables. And so I want to show you what those three are, and I want to just give you a list of the parables that are under these themes. The first theme is the nature of the kingdom. For example, the parable of the mustard seed, parable of the leaven, parable of the hidden treasure, and parable of the pearl of great price. These are all about the nature of the kingdom of God. A second sub-theme, number two, is the nature of the king. And there are two parables under that, the parable of the workers in the vineyard and the parable of the lost son. Now, like I said, in future sermons, we plan to go through some of these and point these things out. And then the third sub-theme in his parables is the nature of the king's subjects. In other words, what the people are like. The parable of the Good Samaritan and the parable of the persistent widow. And of course, you could put under there, even though it's not a parable, of course, but the Beatitudes do that same thing. And of course, these sub-themes often overlap in some of the parables. And I think they clearly demonstrate that the overall theme of the parables was the kingdom of heaven. Is that important to understand? Yes. Yes. Because you look at just the parables of teaching, just the teachings of the parables of Jesus Christ, and we come out with a teaching that shows us how we're to be living our life now so that we are able to live that way of life then. And that's why they're there. They don't understand, but the interpretation is given to us. Okay, now I want us to see a few things about the question, how do we interpret the parables? There are two primary, what I call extremes, that we need to avoid in offering any kind of interpretation of the parables. In other words, when we get into them, we try and interpret what the parables are talking about. There are two extremes. The first one is seeking to find some spiritual truth in every little detail. Because I'm telling you, it's not there. Seeking to find some spiritual truth in every little detail. And the second one is saying that there is only one spiritual truth in each parable. It's not there either. In some of the parables, there's more than one lesson. In some of them, there's two and three. The reason I say that we need to avoid these extremes in interpreting them is because there are many people that is what they do. They narrow them down and say, there is one teaching, there's one truth in this particular parable. And not so much. I mean, you know, I do say, there's some of them that might only be one. At least there's only one that we understand at this point. Or to state that there is some spiritual truth in every little detail about the parable. And I don't think that is true. Okay, with what we have seen so far, remember this is an introduction to Jesus' parables. I want to offer some guidelines on properly interpreting the parables of Jesus. And I have them listed, and I have three of them. Number one, learn from the explanations that Jesus gave in the parables that he explained. In other words, we look at what he said, and that's where we start. Here's the parable, and when he starts interpreting them himself, that's where we start. For example, I think it's good for us to understand this. Understanding, for example, the parable of the sower helps us to understand other parables. You go, what? Let me show you what I'm talking about. Go to Mark chapter 4 and verse 13. Mark 4, if you begin in verse 1 and read all the way down, you will see it's very clearly the parable he's addressing there is the parable of the sower. We're not dealing with the parable itself. What we're looking at is number one, as a guideline, is learn from the explanations that Jesus himself gave in the parables that he did explain. Mark 4:13 says, "And he said unto them, Know you not this parable? The parable is the parable of the sower. And how then will you know all parables?" If you don't understand this one, how are you going to understand some of the others? That's in essence is what he is saying. That's the sense of the words. So I make the statement again. Understanding the parable of the sower, for example, helps us to understand other parables. The same is true for some of the others. I'm just giving this one illustration. Jesus therefore went on to explain that parable here in Mark chapter 4. Okay, the second guideline. Look for the central truth of the parable. Look for the central truth of the parable. In other words, make sure that any other truths that can be seen or taken from this parable are in harmony with it. Make sure that any truth that you glean out of this parable are in harmony with it. Look for the central theme of the parable. And number three, consider carefully the context of Jesus' words. This is in guidelines in helping us to interpret what he is saying. In other words, look for an introduction or for an application. An application, I mean, how we can use it that can give us some insights that are given by either Jesus or by the Bible writers. In other words, whether it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Because after all, we understand. He inspired them. So these are words directly of Jesus himself, or he at least inspired these writers to write. Now, it's their words. But the inspiration came from Jesus, and we need to understand that. And so consider carefully the context of Jesus' words. Another thing about this one is do not use the parables, any of them, to express or to verbalize a new doctrine or a new teaching. We can start really getting in trouble if we do that. And another point along this line is always remember. Now, I know there are certain words that we're always taught, you know, when you take speech class and says, never use the word always. Always use always or never use always. You know what I'm saying? There are certain words you stay away. Okay, and I'm saying always remember. Parables were originally told to conceal. Remember? So they are not always that clear in their meaning. So how are we going to form some kind of new teaching or new doctrine from it when we may not even really understand all of the concepts that are taught there? Therefore, don't try to build a case for a doctrine based solely on any parable. In other words, It's there. We can go to it. We can teach from it. But it has to be backed up out of other places, because remember, the first purpose in his teaching parables was to conceal information. What if all of it has not even yet been revealed to us, the church? So my point is just being really careful, and don't use it to build a doctrine based upon a parable. But I think that as we follow these simple guidelines to interpret the parables of Jesus, we can look forward to more fully understanding the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, or the revealed truths of the kingdom of heaven. Because in many of the in many of the parables, he interprets it. He tells us the mysteries, because that's what it is. The multitudes he taught them in parables so that they could not understand the things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. That's what it says. Remember, we read that. So therefore, mysteries of the kingdom of heaven have been blocked to them. And I think that if we follow these guidelines to interpret Jesus' parables, I think we can look forward to more fully understanding the mysteries or the revealed truths that Jesus reveals to us about the kingdom of heaven. Brethren, I also hope that every one of us truly appreciate how blessed we are to be able to learn about the kingdom of heaven. And I hope we never get to the place and say, well, I already know this. I don't really know any. I don't need to know any about this. Wrong, we do. Go back with me to Matthew 13 once again. Verse 16. Matthew 13 and verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. How blessed. How blessed do we actually appreciate the fact that he explained them, that Jesus explained these things, and we can understand these things that were hidden from the foundation. That's what it says. Now, in future sermons, and I keep saying God willing, when we are able to study the parables, we're going to also take a look at some things that Abraham, Moses, David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and many of the others looked forward to, and yet they did not fully understand in their lifetime. Some of them we have very, very clearly, it says, you're not to understand it. To them, Daniel is one. He writes these things in great detail, and then he says, okay, what am I writing? What is this talking about? And he's told in chapter 12, he's told, it's okay, Daniel, you go ahead and die. That's what he's told. And when you're resurrected, you will understand. He was told, it's not for you to know, but he was used in such a powerful way to write these things down, that is for the end of the age. And so we're going to look at some of those things, some of the statements that they made, and see, they wrote it, they didn't understand it. This is not a criticism of them. We just saw where it said they were kept secret from the foundation of the world. That's what it says in Matthew 13 and verse 35. Yet, having said that, these mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, containing things kept secret from the foundation of the world, Matthew 13, verse 35, can now be made known through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, we have to dig in. We have to study them. We might even have to pray over many of them, might even have to fast over some of them to really understand it. But I'm willing to do that. As we close, come to the conclusion of this teaching, I want you to go with me to Romans 16. Romans 16, verse 25. Romans 16, 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, is made known, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, make known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. That's where it comes from. That's where the interpretation comes from. That's where the understanding comes. It's through Jesus Christ. The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless each one of you with knowledge and understanding and a desiring heart, asking for wisdom to be able to know what it is that he is telling us and teaching us that we can live by them. Happy Sabbath to you all. God bless.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.